Now let's continue again today what we have been teaching on the man and his identity by reading once again from the book of Philippians. Now, I'm going to conclude that discussion today. So I'll just read a number of scriptures that we have read before and refer to some other ones. The book of Philippians chapter 3. Now, I will try and quickly get down to where I really want to bring my emphasis from. This was what we read last time. Let's just start from verse 1. It said, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me and is a safeguard for you. Beware of the dogs, beware of the evildoers, beware of the false circumcision." He said, "We are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh." Then he went ahead to describe the kind of thing that gave him the reason to even think about putting confidence in the flesh. He said, "If anybody has that reason, it's me, because I was circumcised on the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. And as to the righteousness which is of the law, I was found blameless. Now these are all the things that were gained to me." He said, "But whatever things were gained, these things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." Now, because of time, please, let's quickly rush down. And I went down in verse 17. He said, "Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us, for many of whom I often told you and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite or their belly, and whose glory is in their shame," that is, their boasting of things they should be ashamed of. He said, "who set their minds on earthly things." Now, we don't set our mind on earthly things, or we are not supposed to. In verse 20, he said, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into the conformity with the body of his glory, by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself." Now, having read that quickly, let's read one more portion of the scripture, and then I'll continue my teaching and begin to conclude the whole series. The book of John chapter 3. Nicodemus came to Jesus Christ and said, "Rabbi," that's in verse 2, "we know that you have come from God as a teacher. We know this because the things that are following you, the signs you do, no one can do them unless God is with him." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly I say to you, unless one is born again or born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, Nicodemus now asked that famous question. And Jesus answered in verse 5, "Truly, truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Now, my emphasis is verse 6. "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again." Now, let me just quickly summarize everything we have said up to this particular point, and I want to make a number of points for today. Now, there's one other scripture we have read several times, and I don't want to read it again today so as not to take a lot of our time. That's in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It said there that if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. He said, "Henceforth we know no man after the flesh. All we know is that if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away, and all the things in his life, they have become new." Now, I want to get a point. Well, let me review some of the things that we said before, and then I'll go into the main thing I want to say as his kind of summary today. Remember what we said? Let me just highlight those points again. Your knowledge of your identity is what determines how life responds to you. There is a true identity and there is a false identity. Don't forget that. Everybody has an identity, and that's what dictates what life gives to the person. But more importantly than the real identity is your knowledge of that real identity. That is, there are two things. You can have an identity and not know it. God may make you into something and you don't know exactly what he made you to be. or you can assume something that you really are not. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain? And that we said that the reasons why people have wrong impressions of themselves, like Paul said, that we shouldn't think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. One of the reasons we said is when people have titles that are not their own. Do you understand my point? They confer a title upon you, and that title is not your own. And I give extensive examples, all right, from ministry matters. If you call a man apostle, he does not know the meaning of the word apostle, all right, or God hasn't given you any special calling. But because he works in a church or an organization where they promote people based on faithfulness to the organization, and part of the promotion is giving you titles, you know, I mean, I don't mean, like I said before, please get me clear. I don't like to be critical. I don't want to say things that won't edify people. I only wish to, all right, help people have direction in life, all right? Now, so please, try and, I don't like to be critical. It doesn't edify, really, all right? Now, but as a matter of fact, a lot of our churches, our denominations, it's easy. You can walk your way up to becoming a pastor. I don't mean that as being critical. It just is clean observation. I am saying it with integrity of my heart. Do you understand my point? You can scheme. I've seen people try such things. You scheme, and eventually you know you will be promoted, and one day you will be called a pastor. It has nothing to do with calling. Now, when people like that reach that office, some of the people who fight for that, they think, they assume some things about the office, all right? Now, unfortunately for them, when they reach that, all right, the person now tries to perform the function that really are due to that office, and God takes offense at that. That's a matter of fact. The reason why he killed Uzzah was Uzzah touched the ark, and he was not empowered to touch the ark. You understand what I mean? So it's very important. So when people take titles that are not their own, it gives them wrong impressions of themselves, and they begin to think more highly than they ought to think of themselves. We also said that another way by which people get wrong identities is by association. That these people just believe that, okay, if I'm part of this thing, I name the name. So you say, this is the church I go to, therefore I'm sure of heaven. And this just to let you know, I've noticed a lot. Human beings generally, they like organized religion. Now, Christianity actually transcends organized religion. That's a matter of fact. Now, so Christians also practice that thing. They find more security in naming a denomination. All right? Orthodox people do it, if you know what I mean, all right? That's our older denominations. And even Pentecostals have begun to do it. There are people who feel very superior, all right, to other people because of the particular kind of church that they go to. All those things constitute errant nonsense. Is that okay? What matters is your personal relationship with God, is not the church you go to. So those are amongst the most important ways people get wrong identities. There's another silly way people get identity, which is very wrong, which you talked about, is identity of what? Possession. I have this, I have that. So you think people should respect you and accord the respect that is not really due to your person. All right? That's because you have a wrong impression. When the Bible says, Jesus said it very clearly, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Now, that's very clear. So those are the wrong places where we get identities from. But what are the right places we're supposed to get our identities from? We said, number one, you get your identity from where? Number one, your origin. And number two, your purpose in life, which is shown by your gifts and your callings. And there's something I didn't add to it. It was later when I was thinking, I realized I pull that one out. There's a kind of identity that comes from the kind of position that you hold. There's a reason why I'm saying that, because I'm going to discuss that one briefly today. Now, you can use it wrongly, you can use it rightly. The wrong way is when you have human positions, you forget that they are transient. Do you understand what I'm going to explain? Now, so people like the word X, you know, a man walked to my office one day. He needed a favor from me, not a big thing. I would have respected him because he was an old man. All he had to do was walk in and say, Doc, they say I should see you. You can do this for me. And I would have said, no problem, sir. What do you want me to do? But he took my hand and began to shake my hand. I am so, so, and so, and so. He's a traditional ruler somewhere. No problem. Former minister of this, former commissioner of this, former chairman of this, he formed for the next 1 minute. He was telling me all the positions in life he had occupied. And I felt like telling him, sir, apparently you're not doing anything right now, because, you know, all you have to tell me stories of former positions that you occupied. Is that okay? Now, sometimes people mistakenly, or I think that, let me just say that briefly. The position you occupy amongst people is very, very transient. Do you understand? What is more important, like I said before, is what you really are. You can be a minister today, or a federal minister. Tomorrow, you are not a minister. You can be a president today, and the following day, you are not a president. So, you see, your position doesn't give you a permanent identity. All right? is what you really are. If inside you are a leader of men, whether you are a president or not, people will still respect you for what you are. Are you getting my point? How many of you remember the story of Mahatma Gandhi? Mahatma Gandhi never really took any political office in India then, but he was more powerful than their president or prime minister, whichever one they were using, because he was indeed in himself a leader of men. He had sacrificed himself and he was accorded the respect that his, let me use the word, spirit carried. All right? So there's no way I'm talking about that position. That's the wrong way you use position. But then in the realm of the spirit, which is again something that has to do with your origin, the position you hold in the realm of the spirit, all right, also gives you an identity. Is that all right? But what you should focus on, most importantly, is your origin and your calling in life. Those are the things that give you the true identity for your life. Those are the things I've been explaining. So that I just want to summarize that. And I've said that your origin and your calling, they are the true origins of identity. But you can also use that wrongly. Remember that? I said if you take, that's why we read that John chapter 3. There is this fleshly origin. We read from that Philippians chapter 3, in which Paul explained that our citizenship is from above. And I said that a Christian derives his boast, his identity, only from what he is or she is in Christ Jesus. Do you understand that point? That Jesus made you to be something. He took you, you know, we're talking about position. He took you from a particular position and brought you into another position. And that is what should be more important to you in life than anything else. Are you getting my point? You must never, listen, follow the world into taking your identity from those wrong things. Even your natural titles, even though they are real, for example, you're a lawyer and they call you barrister this, as a believer, you don't really derive your true identity from that. Are you getting the point I am making? It's very important. If you see in life these days, people like titles. Everybody is fighting to be a title. Everybody is fighting for it. When people acquire money, the first thing they do with their money is to go and donate to one university so that they can give them a title. As a Christian, even though your title is genuine, you don't really derive pride from it. Please, it's important. What the Bible says is that what should make you happy, what you should boast about, is only what God made you to be. I hope you're getting what I'm explaining. That's what you should boast about. What God made you to be, not what, all right, you human beings recognize you for. Are you following my point? Because I said something earlier, in the realm of the spirit, that's what resounds. That is what resounds. Life is spiritual. Let me say it again. Life is what? Very spiritual. People can call you doctor, humanly speaking, and Satan will call you sick man. Do you understand? God looks at you, look at that sick fellow. On the outside, people are looking at you and say, this man is a doctor, but in heaven, they say, this man, all he's doing is what? Spreading disease about. There's no health in his system. Please, I hope what I'm saying is clear to you. So what's more important, is that okay, is that you focus on that which God really made you to be. Don't take your boast in anything human. You know, let me tell you something. Certificates, if you don't need them, don't try to acquire them. I hope you're getting what I'm going to explain. Really. You know, see, Christianity is very interesting. People, the world tries to do things in a particular way. Everybody's looking for certificates just so that they can get other promotion in the office. You know, the other day I was in my office, we were discussing. You know, civil service, you see old women going to write WASC or NECO, and some of them paying people to write it for them. I said, because they're on level 3, and government won't promote you before level 3, beyond level 3, except you get a certificate. You know what I'm saying? So people just try. Now, I'm bringing out something here. I'm not saying you shouldn't go to school. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's not what I'm going to explain. I'm saying that Christianity is that you look beyond the paper. You go for what? The what? The learning. The knowledge. I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. The world, that's what they do. They try to, you know, people, I've seen people write titles before and you'll be embarrassed for them. That obviously, in yourself, you are nothing. If you were, you won't need to tell us the course you attended 16 years ago, a four-month course, you put it there in front of you attended this course. You keep on adding one thing after the other. The fact is that you are not impacting something into anybody's life. That's why you need all those, it's just to make you laugh. I have a chief, he's a military officer. You know, in front of his name, you see MNI, PSC, Well, they used to have three of them. When the military was in power, we knew all of them that time. FSS, PSC, MNI. So it was my chief we were in the same office. So when they entered the office, another of our chiefs was now hailing him, called his name and started reading his those of you are in medical line, you understand what I'm going to say. Started reading his titles. He said, FSS, PSC, MNI, STD, HIV, EBV. He was using all the three-letter abbreviations we have in medicine for all kinds of diseases and adding after his name. It was a joke that day. The man literally was FSS, PSC, MNI. I mean, he was a senior military officer. He retired as a general, all right, well, equivalent in the Navy. Now, what is it that? So, see, well, they have very long titles because they just want to impress you. Some of them, we had one man that time was he held a position in our hospital, an administrative position. The CMD's titles were few, MBBS, MBA, FWACP, and another one, maybe on American distinct of surgeons. If you see the other man I'm telling you about, he had things that would be like ABCDSIZA, that's one, comma, then ABF, then later on, finally, the things that he's a member of one long association, he's a fellow of another association, he's an associate holder of another diploma. He was the least educated of those on the board, but he had the longest degrees. Which, when you look at it closely, it meant nothing. We need those things because we really are not impacting anything into the lives of people. Are you getting my point? As believers, listen, this is what you need. Two things. Number one, a recognition, that's what I'm emphasizing, of what God made you to be. I will discuss that a bit in details. I said earlier that you were in a particular position, then God took you from that position and brought you to another position. There's a problem with recognizing your identity from the flesh. I'll tell you that briefly. The Bible says that all flesh is grass. Don't ever forget that. And the goodliness, it didn't say the bad things thereof. What did it say? The good things thereof, they are like what? The flowers of the field. The flower withers and the grass withers and the flower fades when the breath of God blows upon it. You know what that means? Even the good things that you have naturally, listen to me, they will fail you at a particular point in time when you need them the most. Are you getting my point? If you think you are intelligent, one day your intelligence will vanish from you while you are watching it. It will grow wings, fly away. You will become so foolish, you won't believe it. Maybe you think you're a very smart person. Maybe you're a lawyer. One day you'll be in trouble. You won't know how to bail yourself out. Especially those who think they know people. Identity from associations. These natural things, they fail. And this interesting part, I said earlier, that they don't fail because they like to fail. Why do they fail? When the breath of God blows upon them, that God has a duty, a responsibility, he blows periodically. Now, the mistake we made concerning the flesh is that we think that flesh is a bad side. If I'm lazy, I should stop being lazy. You know what God said? Even if I'm hardworking, I shouldn't think that guarantees anything. Are you getting the point I'm making? Even if I have all the knowledge of health practices, it doesn't guarantee long life. I told the story before that once one of my chiefs tried to tell me how dangerous Nigeria was and how I made the wrong decision coming to Enugu, one of my senior profs. So we're talking, so he had a very nice car, very good car at that. He said he doesn't fly in Nigeria because flying in Nigeria is very risky. I said, so what do you do? He said he drives himself. That's why he has a very good car. I said, sir, what about bad roads? He said, that's why he doesn't use a driver. He knows he's a good driver. I said, what about all these boys that carry guns and shoot people on the road? He said, that's how come he carries a gun. And he showed me the gun. I thought about it in my heart there and then. I said, okay, you have no faith. You have no faith at all. That one is even, God can settle down very easily. Truck will fail brake and run into you. What are you going to do? No, truck. The brake will fail and it will crush you. Look, there's a story. A friend of mine told me, he read it in a book, true stories of real experiences about a young woman who was going on, living a wild life, and the mother was trying to teach her the ways of God. And she felt like, look, this is my mom, eh? You are old school. One day she and her friends were going on a trip. And the mother called and said, look, my daughter, you have to take God with you on every trip, especially this one. The woman had a bad feeling about the trip. And the girl said, either a girl or a boy. Anyway, said to the mother, if God wants to go on this trip, he has to stay in the boot because there's no space in this car. True story. Well, they left on the trip. And God heard her words. And God stayed where? In the boot. Thank you. Then they began to travel. Along the line, one truck came. Well, they had an accident. Terrible accident. Everybody died. Their bones were broken to pieces. And there was a crate of eggs in the boot. Not one cracked. Do you hear what I said? A small crate of eggs in the boot. Part of the things they kept there. And not one cracked. As if God wanted to say, I stayed in the boot. And if I watch over anything, it wouldn't break. I watched over my son on the cross. I said, not one of his bones will be broken. They beat him. Not one bone cracked. I stayed in the boot. Egg did not crack. All flesh is grass. Princess Diana was in a top-range Mercedes-Benz. Had an accident in one of the top countries of the world, in France, and they couldn't save her life. All flesh is what? Grass. The mistake we make is that when we say all flesh is grass, we think that you are saying that, don't think of the flesh is unreliable, as if all the bad things of life. No. He said you don't even take identity from the good things of life. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? When Paul talked about attaining Christ, what he was saying is that God has done something in your life concerning everything you can ever imagine. Do you understand what I'm saying? But that thing is only packaged in Christ Jesus. It's not packaged in your certificates. It's not packaged in your skill. The Bible says that only in the Lord are what? Righteousness and strength. The Bible says that safety is of the Lord. So as a Christian, as a child of God, if you are thinking of anything for your life concerning yourself, the first thing you think about is what God has said about you. Your identity is in Christ. That's why I tell you that people say that, go and have your children abroad. You give them an opportunity, a chance in life. I don't get the point. That's all I want to say. I don't know what else to say about it. The child born in Malawi, are you getting my point? Can make it to become anything in life. Usain Bolt, where was he born? Jamaica. The young man now, you know why I love people like him? He now competes against himself. He's tired of competing against people. He's 20-something, 24 or so. And now he competes against himself. He has beaten everybody. The idea now is, I set this record last time. Let's see whether next time we can set another record. But as whether he'll beat everybody else, that's no longer in contention at all. Nobody doubts that one. He's going to beat you. Please, I hope you're getting what I'm going to explain. But where did each country come from? Jamaica. People tell me that, give your children a chance. To what? So I'm going to have my children in America or England because I want to give them a chance. I'm sorry to say, I don't like to sound like Mr. Know-all or insult people. But I think that it's a very myopic way of thinking. People move all over the world without being born anywhere. You understand what I'm going to say? One of the richest men in Britain is an Arab. Look, listen. Let's forget those things. People think that, what I'm going to bring up is that flesh cannot guarantee you anything at all. It can't. And don't be stupid trying to put your hope in it. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? However, God has spoken a word about your life. He has. What guarantees the believer's destiny, all right, is what God said about him. For example, don't forget my scripture, Isaiah 66 verse 12. He said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. To me, that's a word that guarantees my future security. It has nothing to do with where I was born naturally. It has nothing to do with the country I'm living in. I don't take my identity, do you understand, from natural things. This course you studied in school or did not study cannot in any way guarantee a future for you. It can't. So if you pick identity by those things, all right, what's happening is this. Listen, I said something earlier about flesh. The problem with flesh is what? There's a word I want to use for it. I think I wrote it down somewhere. Yeah, good. I got it. The problem with flesh is limitation. Yes, that's what the word I was looking for. Is what? Limitation. It's limited. It can only go thus far. That's the problem with the flesh. And when we say flesh, don't forget, I didn't say bad thing. I'm not saying lying and stealing. That's not what flesh is. Flesh just means that which is natural. Are you getting my point? It is limited. It is limited. The skill that a man has in himself, the wisdom that a man has in himself, is limited in what it can produce. I hope you are following the point I'm making. Let me tell you something. Just explain what I'm saying. You know, you see me, you hear me use the word a lot, blessing. The word what? Blessing. And what did I say about blessing? I said, when we want to explain blessing in colloquial terms, we call it what? Luck. There's no man who made it in life that's not lucky. None. It's not possible. There's nobody in life that made it and luck was not crucial. I don't want to say some things, you know, because a lot of people listen to me and they are recorded. You remember what I said about Richard Branson? I read his book, that is a biography. All right? And you look at it, this guy is just a lucky man. And when I saw the intensity of luck that was in his life, I said, God must have a purpose for his life. A serious purpose. Except that, I don't want to say it on there, I think of it in a particular fashion. Because once that book was written, his life became a testimony of something, and I don't think God will like that. He will go, I knew of Richard Branson before I knew about his businesses. I knew about his funny escapades, flying around the world in a hot air balloon, you know, stuff like that. When I read the story in the book, most times he survived by sheer luck, just chance. He should have died. He himself says something that if people ever talk about a miracle, this was a miracle. The time he entered into a particular jet stream and was going at a speed that he didn't know was possible. And that speed was required if they wouldn't have to ditch in the center of the Pacific Ocean. So if you talk about miracles, that's a miracle. And the same man will talk that there's no God. I said, you're very stupid. When I was young, I knew of British Caledonia. Then later I heard of British Airways. I thought, until I read Richard Branson's book, I didn't know that British Airways swallowed up British Caledonia. I thought Caledonia changed its name. I thought the official national carrier of Britain was British Caledonia. I didn't know British Airways swallowed up British Caledonia. They wrecked them and then swallowed them up. Now, Virgin was the first airline to fight them to a standstill. And when you read his story again, man, come on, you have to be lucky. Nobody, listen to me, nobody in life succeeds without that thing called luck. Except that, you read in Ecclesiastes, it says, time and chance happens to all men. He said, the race is not the swift, the battle is the strong, and all of that. It's time and chance. That's what he said. Except that, Paul says, explain something, Romans chapter 9. Luck is not by chance. I don't know what I'm saying. It doesn't happen sporadically. Luck is when God pours favor in your direction. Luck is when God opens a door. He said it is of God that shows what? Mercy. There's good luck and there's what? Bad luck. You understand what I'm saying? That is, there's nothing on earth, physically speaking, that guarantees which one will happen to you. Only in the Lord are what? Righteousness and strength. Human beings tell you, look, if you want to have, healthy children, make sure that you and your wife are not both AS. You've heard that before? All right? That's what we doctors say. Let me tell you something about making judgments as Christians. That natural knowledge, I'm not saying it's evil, I'm not saying it's wrong. They're actually factually correct. But please listen to this. Be careful you don't build your life upon them. I know what I'm saying. My friend told me a story. His wife told me a story about her mother, who, when her father wanted to marry, one of her uncles wanted to marry. The woman being very influential, you know, these women that took care of their family, their mother died early or their parents died early, and she took care of everybody. So it's very, very powerful in the house, like a mother of everybody. He said, you can't marry this girl because one of her legs is slightly shorter than the other one, so she has a dip. And they didn't marry. Then she married somebody else who didn't have that at all. And their first two children, exactly. No, did you hear what I said? That is, their first two children had short limbs that the woman said, don't marry that girl because of that. She married somebody that did not have it. Their first two children, exactly, short limbs. I hope you are hearing the point I'm making. As Christians, be careful. Be very careful. Nothing natural. Eh? If you want, listen, your safety, the Bible says, is what? Of the Lord. It can't be. You know, I'm a doctor. I've seen children born and who died with diseases that if they died, nobody diagnosed. I hope you're following what I'm going to explain. I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. Only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. This is how you build your life. When you want to think about prosperity, please. In fact, on money matters, and God is helping me these days. Look, right now, you know what I want to do? Any fixed asset I have, all right, that's not generating anything, I want to sell it and eat the money. I'm not joking. So sell it, share the money, do good, do everything. I said, do you have only two things to do in life? Do good and enjoy yourself. Don't worry about tomorrow. No, I'm telling you, I know what I'm saying. In recent times, God has given me understanding. Now, as of today, now, if you not tell me now, as a few months ago, I was still in that group, but I have left it. Now tell me that, they are selling land in that place. It is cheap. It will appreciate later. You can build house later. As of today, banking will not answer you. While you are watching, the money I have for buying that land, you know what I'll do? I will take it, call a party, call everybody. Say, see that land you talked about? How much did you say it was? 500,000. This is 500,000. We're about to start eating. Sit down, you. Your own portion is coming. We finish blowing it so that you understand that I don't care. Like I told last time, the price is going up. I said, do I look like I'm going down? Price is going up. Do I look like I'm going down? In Jesus' name, I go up faster than prices can go up. You know why? Because he that is from above is above all. Anything I don't have today, I don't need today. That's all. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We are too afraid. I was afraid too. I have repented. We get better every day. We get better every day. I have gotten even better than I was just 2 months ago. I have discovered there is no security. Listen, let me tell you something. Anything you try to do yourself, God won't do for you. I don't know where I get my point. If you haven't teach this one before, this is how God does life. I have a job for you. I have a job for me. What I mean is that you and me, assuming now that you are God, I am me. You know what I'm saying? So we start talking. He said, okay, you come and meet. I'm going to come and meet you. Dear Lord, I want to marry. He said, fine. This is your job. Go and ask her to marry you. Do you know something? I can't do that for you. Or I don't want to. I could. But I've given you that job. You give me that job. So I go. I go and meet Sister Ofoma. Say, sister, how now? I speak all the English. Say, I would like you to marry me. Fine. He said, God, say, go away. Now let me do my own job. I don't know whether I get my point. Then I come and persuade her to marry you. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. That's how God does it. This is how it is in life. This is what I have learned. You know, I said this scripture before. Sufficient unto the day is what? The evil thereof. So this is how it works. God gives me some assignments. For example, he doesn't want me to pray that I will for food for my children. What he says is simple. I have given you money. All right? Give it to your wife. Let her go and shop. Come, prepare it. Just don't forget to give thanks before you start eating. Are you getting the point? So what is my job? My job simply is to take that money, give it to my wife, let her cook, and let us eat. But we must give thanks. Are you getting my point? However, I will now come, maybe he says the bank, how much money is that? I say 50,000. I say, I hope everybody's happy. He says, yes, I'm happy. I now come to him and say, dear Lord, I will need a house of my own. So how much money is there? He said, it's 50,000 naira, sir. Are you getting what I'm saying? So how much money is there? He said, 50,000 naira. Can that buy a house? I said, no. He said, that's not your job. It's my job. I don't know whether you get my point. Sufficient unto the day is what? The evil thereof. I gave you enough money to meet the responsibilities that I wanted you to meet at a particular time. If I decide that with 50,000 naira you will get a house, don't worry. Just continue. One day you will settle down and you maybe you're at home, then somebody says, would you like to have a house? And he said, yes, I wouldn't mind. He said, all right, how much do you have? He said, if it's money, I don't have. He said, there is this house that's available. If you pay 50,000 naira now, for certain reasons, I'm not going to detail how it can happen, we'll allow you to pay 50,000 naira every month for 3 years. Do you understand what I mean? And then the house is yours. And you look at the house, you like it. Listen, and the cash flow that God has shown you as your bear and your lion that you killed before you met Goliath. You know, Christians like to do things they have never done before in the name of faith. You know, we like to do it. They make me laugh, you know. You come and say, yeah, we can do it. Our God can do it. Listen, my friend, if it is your personal life alone, let your God do it. I hope you are getting my point. Play your faith with your personal life alone. Don't enter into contract. You can't pay because your God can do it. Some people won't like what I'm saying, but it's the truth. He said, David went to kill Goliath after he had killed a bear and a lion, and he had a story to tell. What I'm trying to say is that if in the last 6 months, all the money you ever saw was 50,000 naira at a time, if they came and gave you that kind of deal, we'll start paying 50,000 naira every month for the next 3 years, don't take it. Are you stupid? Don't take it. I don't know whether you're getting on an explain. No, it's not your portion. I'll just wait. Tell the person, don't worry about it. Look, don't worry about it. This is an opportunity. The opportunities, they said, loss can never be regained. You've heard that before? But I also told that it's a lie. It is a lie. God never said it. It's one confused Englishman that said it. What did God say? Let me give you the words of God. The opportunity that comes today and you can't take advantage of it will go and wait till you are ready for it. That even though David is anointed king at the age of 17, if he can't take the throne, don't worry, we'll keep it until he's 30. Are you getting the point I'm making? That is from there God commanded the blessings. Blessings are commanded. Bro, hear what I'm saying. If God commands a blessing to you, there is no devil big enough to stop it from getting to you. Do you follow my point? So listen, there's nothing like opportunity comes but once. That is the gospel of a man that is not blessed. Opportunities don't come but once. They come again and again and again and again and again and again and again until I take advantage of them if they are my opportunity. Are you getting the point I'm making? That's what people use to put themselves into trouble. You go and make a commitment like that when you have never seen 50,000 regularly for 2 months in your life. The first time, that one is the temptation of the devil. If he looks good, doesn't mean anything. Temptations always look good. There's never a temptation that looks bad. That is why it's called a temptation. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. If it looks bad, it wouldn't be called a temptation. Because have you ever been tempted? Do you get my point? To jump into a dirty gutter and swim? An adult? No. What's temptation in it? Have you ever been tempted to steal mud they packed somewhere? Mud. Say, this mud, let's try and steal it. That's not temptation. Temptation is money. Do you understand my point? Start rationalizing that. Like one funny man said, I know it's blood money, but we can anoint it with bigger blood and clean it. that is temptation. That is what? It's temptation. So, something is sweet doesn't mean it's not temptation. In fact, usually, temptations are sweet. I'm trying to explain the principle there. So you look at it and say, God, you have your job, I have my job. Sufficient unto the day is what? The evil thereof. And that's one thing I have come to understand. Therefore, you know, I tell you all the time, I'm a rich man. You hear me say it a lot of time. I'm a very rich man. Oh God, that is, when I look at myself sometimes, I look so handsome, I start trembling. I feel so happy. I like, my God. God, why didn't you make everybody like me? There will have been no kidnapping, no militancy, nothing like that on this earth. I value my wealth, and to me, it runs into, at least the one I can easily understand, all right? Into a few scores of billions of dollars. That one I can easily conceive of that. And by the time I can conceive in trillions of dollars, it will also, I mean, I'll value it up to that level.